Good morning. Thank you all for being here this morning. We're having some technical difficulties with our PowerPoint, and I'll try to work through it best I can. But right now it's on a timer. And so we'll see how that goes. Title of our lesson this morning is Power of Love. And my dad's name was Richard Creel. He passed away about 18 years ago. I love my dad and I miss him. He wasn't a man of faith, but he was a good man. He had his problems, like all fathers do. But growing up, I knew that he loved us. He loved me and my brothers and sisters. The thing I appreciate most about my dad is, growing up, he made me and my brother and sister behave. He made us mind. And he had a great intolerance for misbehavior. I was the youngest of three children. And I know you'll find this hard to believe, but I could be a rascal at times, and so could my brother and sister. Now, my mom, she was a good person, but she wasn't always the best at keeping us in line. She did, however, have one secret weapon, and that is she spoke the words, "Wait till your father gets home." And of course, our response was always the same. No! Mom, please don't tell Dad. We'll do anything. We'll do anything. Don't tell Dad. The truth is, I love my dad, but I was afraid of him. Or at least I was afraid to displease him. There was a certain rage that came over my dad when he was displeased with us children. It's hard to explain. He was very intimidating. He had a very big booming voice and he wasn't afraid to use it when he was upset with us kids. And I remember when my mom would say these words, you know, "Wait till your father gets home." I would get sick to my stomach. I had this fearful expectation of my father's judgment when he got home. I was paralyzed by fear. I could do nothing or think nothing except what he was going to do to me when he got home. On the other hand, there were times when I couldn't wait for my father to get home. And I remember one time in particular, I received a good report card. And I remember walking home with my report card. I went to Riley School. I can still remember those report cards. They were in a sort of a blue envelope, and the report card itself was yellow. And I was walking home happily with that report card. I couldn't wait for my father to get home. I was excited, and because I knew he'd be proud of me, you know, with the report card that I had. I had good memories of my earthly father, but today I want to talk to you about our Heavenly Father. Because someday, our Father will return home, so to speak. And there will come a day that he will judge us. Now, I'm going to try to get back to where this thing belongs, so give me a second here. I'm going to try to get back to the scripture that I want us to look at. So appreciate your patience. Technology is great when it works, but it's not working today very well. So we'll give Tony a job, how to get this off a timer, because it's gone through all my lesson here. I'm just going to wrestle with it the whole way. There it is. Hebrews 9:27 says we're all destined to die once and after that face judgment. We're all waiting for our Father's return from heaven. And the question is, which little boy in the story are we going to be like? Which little boy in the story are we like? We all want to be like the little boy with the report card, waiting with excitement and confident anticipation of our Father's return so that we can receive our reward for a good life lived. We all want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Those are the words we all want to hear someday. But the thing is, I think there are times we all feel like the little boy who was paralyzed with fear. And even though we're doing our best, I think we fear that God's going to judge us on that day. And this fear keeps us from having the joy and the abundant life that God would want us to have. So our text today, I'm going to see if I can find it because it ran away from me again. There it is. I'm going to reread it. Thank you, Brother Phil. 1 John 4, wonderful, wonderful book, wonderful chapter. It's about God loves you. That's what it's about. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, the middle part of this text says, so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We all want boldness and confidence about the day that God will judge us. We want to be like the little boy who couldn't wait for his father to get home. We look forward to it. We're excited about it. We want him to come home because we know that he's going to give us reward. And we're excited about not just that day, but we're excited about our life. What we're doing. And the reward our Father is going to give us. Now, the thing that we don't want, but sometimes plagues us, is fear. Because fear torments us. Like the little boy, it paralyzes us. It keeps us from doing the things that we don't want, and it robs us of the joy God would have us to have. We don't want to be like the little boy who was sick to his stomach from fearful expectation of his father's judgment, who could do nothing nor think nothing except what his father was going to do when he got home. So the lesson, how do we get what we want? We want boldness and confidence. And how do we remove what we don't want? Fear. So let's go back to the text. And excuse me, I'm going to try to find it. Oh, there it is right there. Okay. There it was. There it went. Love has been perfected among us in this, so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So the answer is here in the text. Love has been perfected among us in this. So the question is, love has been perfected. I messed up here. Love has been perfected up among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So the answer is, we must have perfected love. Love has been perfected. So what exactly does that mean? The word perfect here doesn't mean flawless. Our love does not have to be flawless. It does not have to be perfect. The word perfect here means complete or finished. So how do we get perfect or complete love? Or how is our love finished? So we got to turn back to the text. It says, love has been perfected among us in this. This tells us how we get perfected love. So what does the phrase "in this" refer to? Well, it refers to the first part of the text. And we have known and believed the love that God has us for, that God has for us. Our love is perfected in this, that we know and believe that God has love for us. This seems really simple, doesn't it? But in order for our love to be perfected, in order for us to have boldness and confidence on the day of judgment, we have to believe God loves us. And really, that's the whole point of 1 John, is God loves us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't get that in my thick skull, how much God loves me. And I think Satan has something to do with it too. But God loves you. If you don't remember anything else about this lesson today, remember this. God loves you. I love Bible stories. And I don't know if you guys remember. Kids, I don't know if you remember this story or not. But do you guys remember when Peter and the other disciples were on a boat in a lake and they saw Jesus walking on water? Do you guys remember that? Kids, do you remember that? Do you remember the story? They saw Jesus walking on water. That was pretty cool, wasn't it? Jesus was walking on water in the middle of the lake. Now, Peter didn't know who it was at first. He thought it was a ghost. Because who would believe any person could be walking on the water in the middle of the lake? But remember what Jesus said to Peter. Anybody? Kids? What did Jesus say to Peter? He said, "It's me. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's me." Peter didn't still quite believe him. He wanted proof that it was Jesus. So remember what Peter asked? Anybody? He said, "Lord, if it's you, let me come out to you." And so Peter began walking out to Jesus. But what happened next? Yeah, Peter began to sink. And why? Why did Peter begin to sink? And it was because at first Peter was looking at Jesus and trusting in him, believing that, yes, this is God's son. I can walk on water. He's given me the power to walk on water. But then you know what? He got distracted. He started looking at the waves. And he started focusing on them. And he stopped focusing on Jesus. And that got him into trouble, didn't it? I don't know about you, but I can relate to Peter in this story. I can relate to the Peter who was sinking in the water, because we live in a stormy world, don't we? We live in a scary world. There are many things that frighten us and distract us and make us lose our focus. Do you know why God had this story? Because he wants to remind us who the focus is. He wants to remind us who we should be focusing on. Because like Peter, we should not be focusing on the storm around us, because there's always going to be a storm around us because we live in a wicked world. But God wants us to focus on him. He wants us to focus on Jesus. A big part of why we come here every Sunday, a big reason why God wants us to be here every Sunday, is he wants to remind us that he loves us. He loves us. And you can trust him. Now, the scripture writes that God loves us, but God also showed us how he loved us In 1 John 4:9, John writes, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that God loved, but that he loved us. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin." In order to have the perfect love that John writes about, that gives us boldness and confidence on the day of judgment and drives out fear, we must realize God loves us. When we realize how much God loves us, it causes us to love him. When we realize what he has done for us, it wants us to live for him. We love God because he first loved us. John writes, "God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this." God is all about love. That's what that means when it says God is love. God is all about love. And in order for us to have complete love or perfected love, we must be all about love. The word abide here means to live in. To live in. To stay. To remain. If we abide in God, that means we live in God. We are all about God. Just like our Father, we are all about love. And when we do that, then love is complete in us. When we realize how much God loves us and we return that love to him, then our love is complete. Now remember, God didn't just say he loved us. He proved it by his actions. My favorite scripture is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. That's the kind of love God wants us to have. John says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence." Remember earlier I asked the question, how do we get boldness and confidence about the day of judgment? How do we remove fear? The answer is our love must be perfected or complete. To get perfected love, we must first realize God loves us. Then we must love others in the same way God loves us. This perfect love gives us boldness and confidence and drives away fear. When we do that, when we love in this way, then we get confidence and boldness and it drives away fear. Now, how does that work? How does this complete love produce boldness and how does it drive away fear? Well, the answers are already here too. And I'd like to use an analogy if I could. When you were in school, and some of you still are, what was the thing that you feared most? I don't know about you. Tests. I was always afraid I was going to fail tests and I would fail. I still have recurring dreams, although it hasn't happened lately, about failing in school. But let's say you were in school and you had a big test coming up. Now, if you're like most of us, we would feel anxious. You're afraid you might fail the test. But how would you feel about taking the test if I told you you already knew all the answers? Yeah, I'd feel the same way. I would feel confident. I would feel boldness, fearlessness. The reality is, folks, we do have a really big test coming up. It's called the Day of Judgment. And we all want to pass this test because the reward is eternal life. But what if I told you that we already have all the answers to this test? There's a way that we can know we're passing God's test. And the answer is in the scriptures that we've been reading this morning. The answer is, by the way, we love others. If we love others the way God loves us, we know we're passing God's test. And we can have boldness about the day of judgment. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made perfect in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he in us. It's really that simple. When we love one another, we know that we're pleasing God. And that gives us boldness and confidence about the day of judgment. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. When we love the way God wants us to, through actions, we know that we're pleasing God. We can set our hearts at rest. We can have boldness and confidence about the day of judgment. Our fears will be driven away. And we can enjoy the life the way God would have us to. Why did John write all these things? Here's the answer. Why does God want us to know these things? God said, "In these things we write to you that your joy may be full." I counted. I don't know. I might have miscounted. But God calls us his children 11 times in the first book of John. 11 times God calls us his children. God loves us. We're his children. And he wants us to be like the little boy in the story who had a really good report card and couldn't wait for him to get home. That's what he wants for us. Just like any proud parent would, God wants his best for his children. He's done everything he can do to help you. But he wants you to be happy, and he wants you to live an excited life, and he wants you to be filled with joy. And that's why he wrote these things. I hope this lesson has helped in some way for you to appreciate how much God loves you and to find the joy that God would have you to have as his precious children. And at this time, as we always do, we want to extend our Father's invitation, whether it's to put on his son's name in baptism or to have prayers offered on your behalf. Whatever your needs, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing. Thank you.